And today's story requires a little bit of telling of the backstory before this point. So at this point in the story, David is already the king, and David has gone out to, well, let's just say it was the terrace garden of his palace. He's up higher than the city, and he looks out over the city, and from his lofty vantage point, he sees a rather beautiful woman bathing on her rooftop, and he decides to take her for his own. It turns out that she is married to a man named Uriah. David does not even know her name, but he sends his palace underlings to go retrieve her and bring her to the palace. And that would have been bad enough, but she becomes pregnant by her encounter with David, and so he tries to hide that as well. And the way that he tries to hide it is that a bunch of his troops are in battle, and this woman, her name is Bathsheba. Her husband Uriah is one of the commanders of David's troops, and so he orders the troops to come home, and then he kind of butters Uriah up and he tells him, you should go spend the night with your wife. Because of course the thinking is, if Uriah sleeps with her, then the whole town will think that it's Uriah's child. But Uriah has too much integrity for that, and he refuses to go home while his troops are camped out, and he stays with his troops. So David's secret is sure to be exposed, so what he does is he orders Uriah to the front of the battle line where he will be killed. Uriah, of course, is then killed, and then David summons Bathsheba to come to the palace to become his wife. And of course, he's trying to save face. He's trying to look heroic to the people that since his commander has died, he's going to take care of his wife. But of course, we know the real story. And it's at this point that we begin to hear the word of God from 2 Samuel chapter 12.
Now the rich man had very many flocks and herds, while the poor man Good morning. How is everyone? Can you hear me? My name is Regan Orsalak. I'm a Calgary guy, born and raised, so I'm pretty rare, because everyone else is from every other place. I'm a Lutheran. I've always been. My mother was a Lutheran, so of course she took my brother, sister, and myself to church. It was a good thing. My brother and sister, they both got confirmation, but then when it was my turn, didn't happen. We had a new pastor at our church, and he was a very, very strict Lutheran. And there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, that's okay. I get the concept of what he wanted to do, but he turned around and failed our whole class. So we never got confirmation. So basically what happened, as soon as he did that, half the congregation left the church, just like that, overnight. And his reason for not confirming us was because he felt we didn't know the material enough. I was like, okay. I'm a young teenager. I don't know really much about what he's trying to do, so I rolled with the punches, and I think my mother continued going to that church probably for about another 6 months, and then she left the church also. So, am I bitter about it? I was. For a very long time, I did not go to church. A couple of my friends invited me to some of their churches over the years. Yeah, it was okay, but it's not a Lutheran church, and I'm a Lutheran, so it is what it is. I was mad. I'm not mad anymore, and I'm actually glad that I've come back to the church. It's a good thing. I'm okay with it. And that was a decision I made one day, and it's like, yeah, it's time to go to church. I don't know, I think 4 months? 3-4 months? Don't ask.
Thank you.
church throughout the ages has taken your grace and your salvation and become its gatekeepers, telling people they have to learn, they have to know the material, they have to confess, they have to anything. And we ask that you would have mercy upon us. And Regan, we ask your forgiveness.
You have it. I forgive you and the church and for what the old pastor did.
Now, forgiveness doesn't mean that we pick up where we left off. It just means you are not willing to carry the hurt and the shame and the baggage and the anger or whatever was there. But reconciliation is another matter. We also want to give you the chance to be reconciled to the church. And if you take that upon yourself, it means that you're willing to re-enter relationship with the clergy and the church and the be subject to our bumbling mistakes.
That's okay. I'm good with that.
That's all good. And we ask that you would anoint us as your pastors. We promise within the best of our ability to live according to God's call, to shower down grace and sacraments and forgiveness upon you and upon all of God's people. We also ask for your compassion and your patience and your continued and renewed forgiveness, not just Regan, but all of you, that when we stumble and fall and when we hurt you, that you would risk hurting us by coming to us and holding us to account and beginning again the cycle of forgiveness and reconciliation.
I'm good with that. I'm totally okay with that. Don't worry. If you drop the ball, I'll let you know.
So if you're good with it, would you tell us, I'm totally okay with that out there?
Is everyone okay with that? Awesome.
Fantastic. God's grace and peace be with you.
And also with you.
Peace, Regan.
Thanks. Yeah, you're welcome.
Okay.
We invite you to stand and sing the hymn of the day, which I don't remember.
On Eagle's Wings.